Welcome back to Aliyah Yomi. Today we're going to be learning Vayigash Shvi, the seventh Aliyah in Parshas Vayigash. Our Aliyah talks about Yosef's tax policy, and it is an Aliyah of 17 psukim, running from Perek Mem Zayin, possibly Yud Alef to Chav Zayin. Let's take a look at a brief overview and then delve into some points to ponder. So now we hear that Yosef has settled his brothers in the land of Goshen, the best of the land. It's near Ramses. And as Pharaoh had indicated. Now, what happens is, in the meantime, Yosef is now sustaining his family, and father, children, grandchildren, the whole family, but there is no bread. The famine now wears on, and at this point in time, all of Egypt, all of Canaan are really in a terrible state because of this. So Yosef now takes the money and collects the money that everybody is paying in order to get food, and he puts that into the coffers of the Pharaoh. But then money ran out. There was no money left to pay for the food. So they all came to him and says, "We need money, we need food, or we're going to die. Ki afes keseth, there's no money left." So Yosef says, "Well, bring your livestock. You don't have to give money, give the actual items themselves, or barter for food." And that's what they do. They present to Yosef the susim, the tzon, the bakar, the chamorim. They all exchange their livestock for food. But then those also they ended at the end of the second year. There was nothing left then to trade. Lani shalifne adoni biltim gvi osein avad mosein. And they say, all we have is our bodies and our land, which is not owned by the state. Why should we die? So he does an interesting thing here. And he says, Yosef acquired the entire land, meaning to say the state now requisitioned the entire land of Egypt, because they already sold the land to the Pharaoh, and that because of the severity of it. But what he did was, is he reorganized the people, and he put them into different cities, because they owned the land, so they could tell people where they could be directed to. And the only land that he did not acquire was the priests. He made a law that the priests will eat what they need from the state, and they're not going to have to sell their land. And then he says, look, here I, now that I own everything, so I'm going to put you to work. So he gives them seeds, and he starts getting them to work on the land itself. And the way it's going to work is that you are going to give 1/5, 20% to the Pharaoh, to the state, and 4/5, which is 80%, you will be able to eat and use for the future planting for yourselves and for your families. And they are incredibly gracious and thankful to Yosef, and this becomes the law of the Egypt, that the fifth goes to the Pharaoh. That's the tax, and the priests, the Kohanim themselves, are not involved in this tax as well. There's this waiving of the tax for them. And we hear at the end of the parasha, Vayeshev Yisrael Beretz Goshen. The Hebrews are living in Goshen, and they are very successful, they are established, and they have many children. So a lot of things, most people do not focus on this part of Parashas Vayigash. Most people hear about the drama, the story, the interactions, but most people forget the last Aliyah. What's going on, all these incredible policies? What do we make of this? What are we supposed to learn from this? So the Emes Liyakov, Reyakov Kamenetsky, has a very famous idea over here, which he develops, and he says that, you see that Yosef has an incredible insight. He has an unbelievable visionary. He sets into motion some very, very important ideas which are going to shape the Jewish history as a whole. Because the first thing he does is he takes away land ownership, he moves people around, and he taxes everybody except for the priests. Those three things are going to be incredibly important for the survival of his people, the Hebrews, in adversity. Because the first thing he does is he makes sure, he ensures that everybody is not a citizen. By moving everybody around, essentially, not the Hebrews aren't the new ones on the block. Everybody is the new one on the block. Nobody has their own territorial claims, and therefore they are less adjusted, meaning to say the Egyptians are less adjusted to their own land as much as the Hebrews are themselves. So there's less of a Hebrew wanting to become part of Egyptian society as well. So that's one aspect of it as well. But it goes further than that as well. You'll see what he's doing is by waiving the tax on the priests, what he's going to do is going to set into motion a process by which the Levim, who are the priests of the Jews, are going to be exempt from the hard work, thereby ensuring that there's going to be one kernel, one core, we'll call it circle or sphere in Jewish society which is going to preserve circumcision, is going to preserve the traditions and the ideas of the meditations on God, even when the rest of the Hebrew society will perhaps be falling apart. That was because it was written into the books of law as already set by Yosef and Pharaoh earlier on. Where did he get this from? So this comes back to the notion that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky develops, which is that Yosef was given the special Torah of his father, of the Torah's Shem Ve'ever, which he understands as Torah Sagonos, the teachings that express themselves in a very complex reality, like Shem and Ever express themselves in complicated realities. And it is how to govern and how to act in a very complex environment, and that's what was being achieved over here as well. Very, very powerful perspective that's being expressed. This is the Torah's Shem Ve'ever in action. Now, what can we learn from these policies? So Rav Soloveitchik points out just a few important points. Number one is that Yosef treated Egyptians and foreigners as the same. You notice that there's no differentiation over here between when the people come to him without money, between the Egyptians and the others, which means to say that Yosef is introducing a sense of universalism, the equal rights of a human being. Yosef also allows individuals to still own 80% of their assets, essentially, and pay 20% to the state. That means, say, that although the state did own the territory, the people had the pride in being part of the enterprise of their own ventures and their own success, which is this balance, which is a hard balance today in political systems to find between the state control and regulations and free market, which is what Yosef is essentially doing. This is moving away from what other states would do in such a situation, which is absolute power and therefore price gouging and requisition. Yosef is much more cognizant of the reality that people need to have their own share in it as well. Rav Soloveitchik points out that he is introducing the ideas of justice and charity in a world which perhaps has not ever encountered such values beforehand. Interesting thing that Rav Hirsch also points out over here is that there are academics who argue that really Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave us the five books of Moses, it was really from himself. It wasn't from Hashem. He just took the previous cultures that he had and he sort of amalgamated them into some sort of, you know, book of law. And, you know, Rav Hirsch points out how preposterous this is in numerous cases. And one place that you can see is from here, is because when it comes to the Torah law is unlike Egyptian law in the opposite direction. Because the Egyptian law would say that only the priests are the ones who are able to own land, whereas the rest have to even sacrifice their own land if the state so demands because of the money. Whereas when it came to Torah law, it's in fact the priests, the Kohanim, who are not allowed, not entitled to land, completely the opposite. So just as a clear idea that the Torah's Moshe is not Moshe's experience in a foreign culture, God forbid. It is a divine idea expressing itself in this world, which is to be understood differently. And finally, the last thing which is worthwhile noting is that Rav Hirsch points out that the last pasuk in our Aliyah and Parasha is really the beginning of the sin, the beginning of the descent, because it describes how Vayeyacha Zuboy, that the nation of Israel were now becoming established in this country, Vayirfru Vayiru Ma'od. And yes, it's wonderful to hear about Jews being successful. Yes, it's wonderful to have success, but in the end of the day, success often breeds a certain degree of inertia, a certain degree of indifference to the values, traditions, and origins. And unfortunately, that's what we're going to be seeing, a system which has repeated itself in every single country the Jews have been washed ashore on. And that's part of the danger of success, which is what we're witnessing right now. With this, we conclude the 7th Aliyah and Parshas Vayigash. In the meantime, have a wonderful, meaningful day and a beautiful Shabbos.